Going to speak to you this morning about a topic that I know many of you care about, that I care about, and that's about welcoming the stranger, particularly the immigrants and asylum seekers among us. The situation nationally and here at home is at a crisis level, and I wanted to take some time this morning to look back at some of our history of immigration in this country and what's happening today, both at the border and here at home. As a rabbi, I always look first to my Jewish sacred text, to the Torah. And 36 times in Torah, it tells us to welcome the stranger among us and to treat that stranger with dignity and with respect, remembering that we Jews were ourselves strangers in the land of Egypt. And Leviticus 19 tells us, treat the stranger as equal to the citizen. These and similar teachings across all of our different faith traditions is what impelled the faith communities to start the sanctuary movement in the 1980s to help Central American refugees who were fleeing civil war back at home, a civil war which, by the way, the United States helped to foment. And it was also due to these faith teachings and due to the request from the immigrant community that got the Wisconsin Faith Voices for Justice to start the Dane Sanctuary Coalition in 2017. And we all know that these are not actually strangers among us. These are our friends. These are our neighbors. These are people whose kids sat next to our kids in school. They run businesses that we patronize. They work in the restaurants where we eat. They're the backbone of our dairy industry and our food industry. They enrich our society with food, with music, with language, with culture, with a global perspective that we don't always have. Our country and our state literally could not continue without these valued members of our community. And I know that you all know this because I know the amazing work that so many of you do, welcoming people into your homes, providing rides, donating to immigrant organizations, to the Dane Sanctuary Coalition, among others. So why is it so difficult for our elected officials, both nationally and here in Wisconsin, to get on board and to do what they need to do to help desperate people who are fleeing violence, who are fleeing civil unrest, who are fleeing gang violence, domestic violence, who are fleeing grinding poverty and environmental degradation? And why is it that we as a country are not living up to our ideal, our image of ourselves, of America as a refuge for that homeless tempest tossed? Well, the fact is that that ideal image was never real. From the very, very beginning of our country, in 1790, one of the first things that we did as a country was to enact the Naturalization Act, which restricted naturalization to free white persons. In the late 19th century, we welcomed Chinese workers. Come, work, build our railroads, do the hardest, most dangerous work that there is to do. And once you've done with that, we're going to make it impossible for you to become citizens or to bring your families here or to do anything as an actual citizen. By 1924, we'd enacted quotas which kept out people from Eastern Europe, primarily aimed at keeping out Jewish refugees who were fleeing pogroms in Russia. And by the late 1930s, had basically closed our doors to Jews who were fleeing the Holocaust. And it wasn't until 1952 that race was removed as a barrier to immigration and to naturalization. Now, there's been, you know, pendulum swings. Fred Risser used to be my senator in the state capitol. I don't know how many of you remember Fred. He had the distinction of being the longest serving public servant in the entire country. He was well into his 90s. Before he retired. And I love to go visit him and lobby him no matter what the issue was. He was always like, okay, I'm with you. I'm gonna vote. You know, I'm gonna vote the way that you are coming here to lobby me to vote. Now let's just chat. And we would talk about all kinds of things. And as things in the Capitol got more and more difficult, and I would talk to him about, isn't it really hard being in the Capitol these days? And he would always say, you know what? The pendulum always swings. And Fred had that long view to know that the pendulum always swings. And the same thing with our immigration policies, the pendulum has been swinging. In the 60s and 70s, our immigration laws were relaxed in the way that led to an influx of people from Latin America, much more so than the traditional European immigrants who had been coming earlier. And in 1986, under Ronald Reagan, of all people, there was a law that was widely known as an amnesty law that allowed for a pathway to citizenship for so many undocumented people who are living here. Unfortunately, then the pendulum swung back. And by the 1990s and into the 2000s, concerns about illegal immigration, about criminal activity, about drugs, about guns coming in, and about terrorism led to a crackdown at the border. One bright spot in 2012, by executive order, President Obama implemented the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Unfortunately, his successor tried to overturn that law. Right now it is frozen, it is stuck in the courts. If you currently have DACA, you can continue to renew, but there are no new applications being taken. So even if you qualify, you are no longer able to apply as a DACA recipient. Today, as you know, I know you've been seeing the pictures of what's been going on at the border. Just last week, there was a bill before our Senate, the emergency supplemental bill, which the Republican Party had wanted, had called for, had written themselves, and then voted against. Because extremists in Congress decided that as much as that bill was going to basically end our asylum program, it was not draconian enough for them. So they voted against it. So right now we are still in limbo with our immigration system as more and more people are massing at our border and desperate to get in. A couple years ago when I would give this talk, I said there's a backlog of 1 million cases in the last years because of how the previous administration dismantled our immigration system. There is currently a backlog of 3 million cases. 3 million people who are waiting for their application for asylum or their application for change of status from undocumented to resident are sitting in limbo because there are not enough border agents, there aren't enough judges, there aren't enough courts to handle the influx. And so these people are just in limbo. Here in Wisconsin, the situation, again, pendulum swings. Up until 2007, even if you were undocumented, it didn't matter, regardless of immigration status, you had access to legal driver's license. In 2007, our legislature took that right away. In 2011, our immigrant neighbors lost access to in-state tuition. So even if you are a DACA recipient, even if you are able to stay here, you're able to work here, you're able to get a Social Security card, you're able to get a driver's license, you still have to pay out-of-state tuition, even if you came here when you were a baby and you grew up in Wisconsin schools and went to Wisconsin schools your whole time in school, you pay out-of-state tuition. In 2018, there were ICE raids across the country, and there were ICE raids here in Wisconsin. 83 Wisconsin residents were picked up and detained, and many were deported. And the immigrant community here is still recovering from the trauma and the fear from those raids. We are hearing about busloads of migrants being shipped to all over the country, primarily to New York, but also to Chicago. Most recently, there were 500 migrants who came to Milwaukee because the governors of Florida and Texas have decided that that's going to be their solution to the influx of immigrants who are coming into their state. And, you know, I keep saying to people, you know, that the short-term political theater that they are creating by treating these people this way is really short-sighted and is going to come back to bite them. Because we know, as immigrants come into our communities, within a generation, they are going to add to our economy, they're going to add to our society. We are going to be stronger for having these wonderful people in our midst, and those states that are sending them away are going to be weaker. So they are really, for a short-term political gain, really having long-term negative repercussions for those policies. We do have a little glimmer of hope here in Wisconsin. Just in the last few weeks, there have been four bills that have been introduced that actually have bipartisan support. I know that sounds like a dream from a different lifetime, but they actually do have bipartisan support, and they are all aimed to help our own DACA recipients here in Wisconsin. So one bill will allow for DACA recipients to get licensed to work in certain professions like hairdressers and massage therapists and all other kinds of jobs that require licensure that they had been shut out of. They are now, these bills passed, going to be able to get those licenses. Immigrants are allowed to serve in our army, but for some reason are barred from being police officers. So one of these bills will allow for DACA recipients to become police officers. And there is a bill that will give tax credits for part of their DACA renewal. Every 2 years, you have to renew your DACA status, and it costs $495, which is quite a lot of money. And if you have more than one DACA recipient in your family, it's a huge expense. And so this would give a tax credit of up to $250 to help offset that cost. And one of these bills would provide for in-state tuition, which so many other states, including Minnesota, provides. So instead of having our students going off to Minnesota because the tuition is cheaper there, and therefore we lose you know, their skills, their talents, and their energy to Minnesota, if they have in-state tuition, we'll be able to keep them here in Wisconsin. That's the good news. The bad news, if you don't already know, in November, when you go to vote, there will be a referendum on your ballot, which says, and you know, they write these things that they sound so reasonable that you're like, oh, sure, I'll vote for that. This referendum says if you are not a naturalized, a born or naturalized citizen, you can't vote in our elections. Now, it already says in our United States Constitution that you have to be a citizen to vote, right? So this is a bill that solves a problem that doesn't exist. And so what's the purpose of this bill? The purpose is to demonize undocumented people, to make it seem like they are illegally taking advantage of rights and benefits that they don't have. And it's to sow distrust in our electoral process. When you see that referendum, please vote no. Please alert your friends and family that this is gonna be coming, so they won't be surprised, and when they read it on their ballot, they won't think, oh, well, that sounds reasonable, I'll vote for that. But let them know what the real purpose is behind this bill. Which takes me to my final point. What can you do? Well, you're already doing it. As I said, I know a lot of you are hosting people in your homes, you're providing rides to Milwaukee and to Chicago. Those are such amazingly important things that you all are doing, and we'll talk a little bit more about that after services with the Immigration Task Force. But there's also other things you can do. Raise awareness. Help us to educate our community. Write letters to the editor. Call your legislator. Let them know. Your legislator may not know that there are these four bills. They've got hundreds of bills to deal with. I was at the Capitol on an affordable housing lobby day last week. And what day was it? It was Thursday. And Gary Goyke, who was a former state senator, was speaking to us, and he said, it's a historic day today. There are 18 hearings going on in the Capitol today, covering, I forget how many bills he said, it was like 169 bills or something, in all in one day, because they are racing through all these bills through the legislature, because the assembly is going on vacation after today. They're not going to be in session. And the Senate also is planning on ending their session early. So they're racing all these bills through. So a lot of things fall through the cracks. So call your legislator and make sure they know that these bills are there and that they should vote for them. And donate. The Community Immigration Law Center, if you don't already know, is a pro bono law center. They provide assistance to undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers. They help them to file for asylum. They help them to go through their immigration hearings. They help them in all kinds of ways. They are struggling on a shoestring budget. And I heard recently that they are actually out of money and not taking any new cases. And they already had a huge backlog of cases. Please donate your funds as much as you can, but also time. Because they will train you in how to help walk people through some of the paperwork. You don't always have to be a lawyer to help people with all these things, particularly if any of you speak Spanish or other languages. French is also very important. Many people coming from African countries speak French. So other languages that you speak, if you can help, and they will train you, and you can help people walk through their paperwork. All kinds of ways that you can help. Please, I invite you to join with the Dane Sanctuary Coalition and your own immigration team and help us to help our immigrant friends and family members. Thank you so much.